This is Pure Decking show number 395 for Thursday, June something, whatever year. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and I want to see the riots taking place in a place that people will really notice it and really pay attention to it. The Minecraft servers. I'm Morps, and besides terrible jokes, tonight we have Mad Men.
Hola. I have beer and a Riot live stream.
There you go. And narrating the live stream tonight will be Aryu.
I'm such a fool, dude. I went and bought these two new screens this week. If I'd waited till tomorrow when we're having our riots, I could have got them for free.
Yeah.
Fucking, I'm stupid, man. Yeah, it's like whenever I buy a Steam game, guaranteed it goes on sale the next day.
We need to schedule a riot at a gun store.
That'll end well. You go, Madman, you let us know how that goes for you.
I'll be across the road filming and narrating. And then it goes, Madman's down.
And here we see the wild redneck attempting to loot a gun store. Oh, the owner's out there. He's angry. He looks angry. Oh, they're fighting. Oh, fuck. Who died?
Well, I need somebody to stand over me and press E, right? That'll bring me back.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that'd be a great joke, wouldn't it? Like, somebody gets shot, you know, the other character comes over to them, they're like, help me up, man. They whip out their keyboard, they hold E, and then when it doesn't work, they press F. Well, that was stupid. Anyways, so something I was thinking about the other day, well, past couple of days with some other stuff, but so The Verge has this story, you know, former Facebook employees, you know, forcibly joined the chorus against Mark Zuckerberg. And just read the first paragraph or two here just to get the gist of it, because I mean, this has been in the news a lot, right? People are saying shit about Zuckerberg because he won't fact check political ads or the president or shit like that, right? So pressure is mounting from all directions on Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg for his refusal to take action against posts from President Donald Trump. The latest salvo comes from 33 former employees who worked at the company during its early stages, including some who helped create Facebook's original community guidelines. The open letter was first published by the New York Times. Oh, well. Gravitas then, huh? You know, as opposed to any other website these days. Not a lot of people give a fuck about the printed paper part of it anymore, you know? arguments in the letter have been made before, including recently by The Verge. The letter published today presents a singular, clear, and strong argued case against Zuckerberg's position. The group of former employees argue that Facebook's position on moderating Trump is inconsistent and that it consciously exposes the public to the dangers the company has seen before, and that it creates a tautological double standard and makes the speech of the most powerful inviolable. Okay. So, this comes back to Zuckerberg saying Facebook is not an arbiter of truth and they're not gonna get into the political fact-check game. Now, as much as I would like to think this is because Zuckerberg has some kind of a moral stance on this, we all know the real answer. He doesn't want, you know, an executive order to get issued against his company the way Twitter got one last week.
Yeah.
But I don't think this is this grassroots effort a lot of people say it is. This whole, you know, pressure on Facebook to censor the president, right? I think what's really going on is that a lot of media outlets, you know, what would be considered more the mainstream media outlets or more traditional media outlets, I think they have figured out that social media, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, are not the new thing that everyone's doing on the internet. They figured out these guys are their competition. And
yeah,
if I can go on a website and see exactly what the president said, or any important person, any figure, public figure, right? The president's the current example because that's the one everybody's hounding on. But, you know, anybody. You know, I can see what they've said. I can see what they reported. I can go on YouTube and get the full speech in context as opposed to the, you know, snippets they play on the news. You know, they got caught with a William Barr speech last month where they cut it up and then lambasted how horrible he said what he said was. And then the full thing came out and it's like, oh, well, he didn't say what you guys said at all. And you obviously had the full speech because it was your network, so what the fuck, right? I think what's really going on here is these media companies don't like the ability of somebody else out there. Like, they don't give a fuck if Twitter censors anybody. What they care about is that other people can go to Twitter and get what the president is saying without it going through their filter, without the traditional media companies being able to cherry pick what they want to say or twist it or display it in the manner they want. And you know, you've got a lot of these major social media companies, the owners and managers and the people who run these companies, they all live out, you know, urban California, so they get a lot of social pressure, I'm sure. You know, it's like, oh my God, how do you let them say these things? How do you say these things? You know, well, at least right now, because it's they're going after a Republican, and arguably he's got the R next to his name, right?
about all he's got.
Yeah, he's not really much of a traditional Republican, is he?
Well, he doesn't have Republican support. He doesn't even have support in his own cabinet.
Well,
everything he says is ripped apart on all sides.
Oh yeah, yeah. But I think that's what a lot of this outcry against Facebook for not putting up warnings and trying to censor the president is really based around. It's the no, we're the news. We tell you what he said.
Yeah, the dudes at the top are losing their shit because the new media is crushing them. I mean, there is so much of traditional television and radio lifestyle that has been shed because of new media, and they really do hate. And it's not the big guys like your Dave Rubens and those guys. They don't give two fucks. They've got their slice, and the media will never get that bit back. They know that, so they're going after the middle and the smaller ones to try and crush them. It's your podcasts that have to be pushed around the internet and places like that because they're saying the wrong things. Okay, if they're really saying the wrong things, why are their numbers growing? Why are more and more people flocking to these people?
It's like, okay, why is Crowder so damn popular if his message is so wrong, right?
Well, I look at Crowder's numbers and they're starting to wane.
You know, look how much. Well, okay, here's the good example. Why the hell is Joe Rogan getting paid so much to, you know, randomly interview people and not censor them?
Yeah, exactly, dude. Because
how much
long
shit
form
does he take for not controlling what people say?
Yeah, but I look at the one who's really rising right now is a comedian called Nick DiPaolo.
Yeah,
he's recently propped up on YouTube as free for four days a week. All his stuff kicked off last week with the riots. He came out and just said what he thought. He lost 500 viewers and copped a heap of shit. The next day, he was up 2,000 viewers. You know what I mean? The outrage of 500 gained him 2,000 viewers. And that's amazing. They fucking hate that, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially if you disagree with him, because that's more people listening to what he's saying.
Listen, I mean, what it seems to have been is going, oh, look what this asshole Nick DiPaolo said. And somebody's gone, yeah, what a cunt. And then gone home and watched the whole lot and gone, this guy's funny. Yeah, that frightens the shit out of him. Because it used to be, hey, did you catch so-and-so on TV last night? You know, and everybody would pretty much watch that because there's only 8 or 9 channels. And I'm talking from as an Australian experience here. Because there was only that many broadcast channels and not many people had cable. And now no one has fucking cable and everybody just watches their own shit. There's no unifying television show anymore. There's no... that's what seems to be lacking. And that's what these people are frightened of, because they got no way of figuring out how to get it back to that.
Well, I mean, they lost that argument. I remember when Fox News was first starting to come up, and you kept hearing everybody lambaste that, oh, there used to only be three networks, and they all said roughly the same thing, and now everybody's off on their own little tangents on the internet and on Fox News and all this other stuff, and it's like, yeah, is that a bad thing? Really? And more people have a voice? Really? I mean, but that's, I didn't live that experience, because growing up, we always had more than just the three channels, but I guess that's a generational thing.
Yeah. And also, too, it was very clear when the shots were fired over Alex Jones's head. You know, you being entertaining and frightening at the same time will not be tolerated. You look at Alex Jones' numbers, still going up.
Oh, yeah.
Still selling all that crap. He's still popular.
You know, there's a reason why when we first put G15 together, we decided we wanted to build our own shit.
Yeah. That's the real crux of it. And as it goes for the news, man, I've got no idea what the fuck they think they're doing. Like, just give me the facts. I'll figure out how I want to think about it. I don't know how to phrase it correctly or what even the phenomena is, but...
Well, like, you see...
A joke starts within a group that's considered fringe, and then suddenly that joke is turned into a 16-paragraph New York Times thing on how we're all about to be overthrown by X. You know what I mean? An example of today is the Boogaloo, right? That's a joke, a massive fucking joke. It was hilarious. There was a whole article written yesterday about how white nationals are now calling themselves the Boogaloo Boys and are about to murder everyone.
That was a joke based off that bad, what was that, Electric Boogaloo or whatever the fuck.
The Electric Boogaloo.
Exactly, yeah. But CNN and all that have turned it into this whole, like, Reds Under the Bed bullshit from the 60s.
Well, actually, a really good example of this one is the whole Karen meme. That thing was going around the internet for at least a couple of years, and we all knew what it was. You know, middle-aged woman butting her nose into business, usually being ignorant about it, asking to see a manager 9 times out of 10. It wasn't political. Yeah. It wasn't racial. It was just somebody who's being really fucking annoying and usually has a bob haircut. And now Bill Maher just did a thing where it's like, you know, and they're racist. It's like, wait, what? That's never what that meant. But that's what it means, because that's what they said on the mainstream. So that's what the argument it is now. And that's actually, hearing that clip is what got me thinking about it, because it's like, wait a minute, that's never what that meme was about. And
you know, I think it is, Morps. Huh? I think it's the decline in the standard of language.
Oh, I'm sure there's some of that.
Like, there is a massive decline in the languages. In language standards. That's definitely it.
But that got me thinking along the lines of, it's like, well, actually, I think what's going on is that these guys, you've got your traditional media outlets don't like that you can just go to some of these websites and get a completely different take than the one they're peddling, and they don't like the idea that there are other views out there. And it's, Twitter and Facebook and YouTube, yeah, they've been capitulating here and there, basically just trying to get them off their backs, I think, more than anything. And I mean, I think that's
what's
really
going on. Capitulating. Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, they haven't really been competing directly with the old school news media.
They haven't had
everything.
To.
Not Twitter. Oh no, I mean, not even now.
Yeah, they never have.
Twitter, YouTube, all of them, whenever you look at their trusted sources are the New York Times. It is CNN. It is MSNBC. Those are their trusted sources.
Well, that's what I mean, is that
they've always been pushing those. Now, before, they weren't pushing anything. Like, before, YouTube wasn't pushing anything.
No.
But when they started pushing, they weren't they weren't pushing PragerU. They're not pushing Crowder. They're pushing CNN. So CNN doesn't have a problem with the...
Oh, yeah, no, you go on YouTube now, and it's nothing but Saturday Night Live clips and late night clips if you don't have anything built up in its algo. But yeah, that's kind of what I mean by capitulation, is that they're like, okay, yeah, we'll let your old content reign on top. Well, okay, yeah, we'll fact check and we'll link to these, you know, trusted sources. Okay, yeah, we'll go to these organizations that go to this. Now, there's a political angle of saying, well, you know, it's all left leaning, fine. I'm not really interested in the political angle. I'm interested in the business angle of these old school media companies don't like that people are going to the social media company first for what's going on, and then when they hear an interpretation they don't like or that they're confused by, they can go on Twitter and find the full thing, or YouTube and find the full speech or the full thing. And now, you know, suddenly you have the take that's presented by whatever company, left or right. I'm not really interested in the politics side of it. It does seem to be left skewed at the moment, but of course that shit changes over time. It's like these companies are doing what they can to try to keep, because this whole idea that Facebook should be, you know, censoring Donald Trump, and it's coming from all these news outlets. It's like, why the fuck would reporters want shit censored? You would think they'd want the information to be out there, right? Well, it's because it's not about information sharing. It's about managing the message.
Did.
So that's, I think, that's the lines I've been thinking on with this lately. And I was just curious what you guys thought, and I thought this Facebook thing was a example to discuss it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what's to be done going forward.
I'm not even sure it's capitulation.
Well, capitulation might be the wrong word. Appeasement, maybe? Just, well, like, here's a bone, leave us alone.
But it's not as much... Here's a bone. They have the same opinion, so they're just doing the same thing.
Well, yeah. It's like, if a
pepperoni company is pushing Papa John's to buy nothing but pepperonis, and Papa John's biggest selling pizza is a pepperoni pizza, pepperoni company isn't really doing pressure. Papa John's is just buying what they want to buy. But if Facebook wants to push a certain ideology, it doesn't matter that CNN is pushing them to do something if CNN is pushing the same ideology. For a capitulation, you'd have to see what's the ideology that company's pushing, and are they now changing that? So if Facebook, YouTube, and name your other major social media thing started playing Fox News clips at the top of their screen and using Breitbart to fact-check people, that would be a capitulation, because they're changing their core beliefs for some reason.
Okay, fair point.
This is just a bunch of companies. I don't even think it's collusion. I just think they're in the same area, and they have a similar mindset, so it's kind of a big circle jerk, whether it's intentional or not.
Okay. No, I get your point. I don't disagree with it. Like I said, this is just a theory I'm working with right now. But
I can't see these companies retaining the level of interaction they have right now. The amount of doxing that's going on those platforms, on people that have the wrong think being exposed, you know, like the average boomer Facebook dude who, you know, fishing with the kids, things like that. But also has made mention of, say, the Groypers or something. He's just getting destroyed on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, they're going after their livelihoods. They're going after their family. It's going to be a big wake-up to a lot of people who use social media when they start seeing other people around them just get vilified for, you know, this. Oh, they posted a picture of them catching a fish. Quick, Peter, take them down. They're animal abusers.
Well,
you know, things like that. It's going on right now, man. And I mean, it's really thick in the last 48 hours since this. enhanced protesters have been on the street.
I think if you want to take a few steps back and look at it long term, I think in 10 years we'll see everybody on some sort of distributed social media platforms, things like Mastodon, where your groups will have their own servers and they can intershare between them as they want, and you'll have some groups that block other groups and whoop de doo, and
it's going to be good because people will go back to fucking living in their own heads again instead of broadcasting every fucking retarded thought they have on the internet.
Well, they'll be more like the old school private forums used to be back in the early 2000s, where you wanted to discuss something, you went and found a forum. You didn't go on Facebook and find a group or Twitter.
Yeah, or you're invited somewhere by someone who goes, "Hey, man, you might want to hang out with these dudes. I've been hanging out with them for quite a while."
It's like, "Oh, you do model whatever? Yeah, we do model whatever. Who? Here, check this forum out." Yeah.
I'm not sure if that will ever really replace the big social media. And the reason for that is the reason people are on Facebook is that's where people are. So for something to compete with them, they need to get a large enough percentage of the population that the population wants to be there. As far as just breaking down into their own little groups, balkanization has never been good for a civilization.
Would you want to know what I'm basing that model off of?
Sure.
Email. Email was originally set up as an open protocol between a handful of universities for the most part. Then you had different services, AOL and CompuServe being the two big ones that come to mind, or QuantumLink, depending on how far back you want to go with AOL. But, you had most people didn't have a straight email address. They had a CompuServe address, or they had an AOL address. Remember AOL with their keywords back in the day, because that was supposed to be the websites of the future. And, but that's not what won. People aren't on private mail systems anymore. People were just using generic email, and every domain set up their own. And if you wanted to, nowadays it's kind of condensed up into a handful of providers for the most part. Either get an email from your ISP or a Gmail or whatever, but it's an open standard, right? So you can go with a big boy, one of the big names, like a Gmail or a Yahoo, or you can set up your own email server like we've done for G15 stuff, or you get one through your company, or you get one for your ISP. And in the future, I see social media platforms doing the same damn thing, and Mastodon's the example I think of because it exists, but I don't think that'll be the final one that wins. The first one that gets out there rarely is. It might be based on the Mastodon standards, but I don't think it'll be that software stack 10 years from now,
I'm not sure social media will go that way for this reason. I can get email from your Hotmail account. You can get Gmail. You can get email from my Hives account, whatever. But can you watch a YouTube video that hasn't been mirrored on Facebook yet on Facebook?
No.
Facebook doesn't go scrape YouTube.
No. But that's my point, is it's not going to be Facebook scraping YouTube. Is you'll have an open software standard, a protocol, that I want to follow this channel, this video channel, and I'm on this platform, and it's that channel's on that platform, and so I would do something similar to an email address where I'd punch in that channel name at that service name and follow it, and those videos would show up in my feed for whatever my platform is, regardless of the fact that it's on YouTube. I would still be getting it from that system, right? I would still be going to YouTube to get it.
I see what you're saying. You're walking and say, I'm just looking at this as like a physical process, right?
Okay.
So you're your own standalone machine, and you walk into the library and you go, "Oh, I want something from the gardening section. I like that guy who does those gardening videos. I'll sign up to that. That way his videos always come to me."
Yes.
I don't have to come back to your service to find anything else unless I want to. That's how you're doing it, right?
Right. It's like, okay, I've now subscribed to this channel, person, account, whatever it is. And now whenever they make a post, because it's all an open standard, my system, whatever my account's on, will notify me that this person on this system has updated something. And because it's a common protocol or a common API, whatever their content is, whether it's a video, whether it's a post, whatever, would then just show up in my feed. I still might be going to that. I'm still going to that service to pick it up because that's where they've uploaded it, right? So yeah. Email. This is where the email analogy breaks down, and that email is delivered somewhere. So yep. You know, when I open an email, that file is residing on whatever server is hosting my email. And
the dude uploads a video, and then he just sends it out to all users.
Right. So
that one, yeah.
Yeah.
So you take out the platform picking winners and losers, then.
Exactly. Because then I
think
subscribe.
That's a fantastic standard.
Well, that's kind of what Mastodon is for, like Twitter, right?
Yeah.
And I think because every system that's been distributed like that has been crazy resilient. Bitcoin is a good example. Tor is another one. BitTorrent, for that matter. You know, these distributed peer-to-peer hosted systems. And when I say peer, I don't mean end user. I mean my machine is, you know, whatever service or server I'm running is equally capable of consuming as anybody else in the network, right?
And with high-speed internet now, that is achievable.
Oh, sure. But I you know, even if
not
it's something
me,
like
but...
email servers, right? Or
yeah.
IRC servers would be another good example where I can connect two IRC servers together and they can pass, you know, host a common chat room and shit like that or in a common network. Do I have to do it that way? No. That's, again, I think email is the closest to analog where the systems behind them are interoperable so that if I'm subscribed to Madman on Madman's, you know, crazy, you know, sacrifice grandma to the stockmarket.com. I don't know. I'm just making shit up.
That didn't work by example. You have to fix something a bit closer. I mean, I don't have any grandparents and I'm still not rich. It didn't work.
You know, I could follow you there from Galaxy 15, you know, whatever's running on Galaxy 15, and then I could go over to, you know, RU's platform where it's hosted on, you know, something hiding in the middle of the outback, you know, where they've
Revenge for the Emu Wars.
There it is. RevengeForTheEmuWars.com, and I can follow them both, and you would both show up in the same feed on the system I log into at G15, right?
It's just me going rank on baby emus like Anakin Skywalker on the Younglings.
And
you think
and,
social media will go to a standard like that, though?
Hell no, man. If
they
can't
the
control it,
as they exist.
Yeah, you're going to have to get someone who's got who can present the idea, start the idea, and then get people to come on board. And that's the tricky part, man.
Well, cause
how do you convince?
The trick is that you're not putting out a social media platform. The trick is you're distributing software. You say,
yeah.
Here is this open standard. Here is this, you know, here's some example software that I'm using. If you hook into these APIs, any software you write can do it as well. So if you want to write something in a different language or maybe that runs on a different platform, you can do that. And, you know,
but also to do this, you're going to have your own servers to kick it off.
Oh, sure. You got to get it started.
Yeah,
but,
and I mean, that's the killer, man. And I'm looking at BitChute. They're starting to hit the grind again because they're running out of room.
Yeah.
They're getting too popular. And the website's starting to slow down a bit.
Well, and that's the other big selling point of a distributed system. You don't need one group constantly building servers, right? So we haven't had to upgrade the sizing for G15 in a very long time. I did have to do it back in the beginning because I had undersized it, but since then haven't really had to mess with it too much. But G15 isn't huge, right? As far as websites and content goes. So great. So as opposed to having to build a YouTube, I just have to get 1,000 people to build a G15. That's a lot easier.
Yeah.
And then you hook those systems together, and let's say that for some reason Madman really is really against the Revenge Against the Emu site, he could block it on his platform. Say, nope, if you're on our platform, you cannot go, you know, if you're at Sacrifice Grandma to the stockmarket.com, you cannot follow anybody on the Emu platform.
Yeah, no,
but
that's
on G15
that's bullshit,
I could still
man.
Follow you both.
Yeah.
Because
I mean,
not that I expect Madman would do this. I'm just picking on you guys as examples.
Yeah. No, it's a good example. And I mean, if you came, you subscribe to my content, it came to your inbox, into your thing, you watched it, and you go, I don't like this, just unsubscribe. You don't have to block or ban it. You just go, no, I'm not interested in that content anymore.
And I agree with you. However, you're going to have people operating servers who are like, no, this server is, you know, for people who are sophisticated and don't believe in Revenge Against the Emus. So if you're on our server, you can't go to Revenge Against the Emus. Well, if Revenge Against the Emus happens to be a fairly popular platform and you block it, well, your server's probably done because everybody goes set up another account somewhere else. And
yeah.
It would be like if Gmail blocked all email from Yahoo.
And then we get back to that vulcanization as Madman was talking about.
But
you know, everyone's setting up their own little fucking corners, not being able to tolerate anybody else's shit.
But hey, if I've got my own corner, but I can still follow whatever I want from any other corners, who cares?
Yeah, I like your idea. I'm willing to invest in it.
Well, like I said, Mastodon's the functional example of that concept today. So I didn't originate it. But I think that's what it will be in time, is you'll eventually have a lot of people start getting tired of Twitter deciding what fact is, or Facebook deciding what fact is. And
well, they did. They went over to Gab.
Gab and Minds.
And Minds.
And you run into the problem where I can't, you know, I want to follow people, so now I'm on two platforms. Well, that kind of sucks. So once you start getting people in open platforms, you'll eventually have the big boys say, well, we want to get in on this too, so we're going to open up to the open platforms. And, you know, it'll be kind of like the... A good example is Second Life and the open source virtual world hosts, where for a while you could go between them. It didn't work all that well, but for a while you could. And then, you know, of course, the commercial one was a little closed off, a little weird. You couldn't port items back and forth, things like that. So, you know, if you're talking about interoperability between Mastodon and Twitter, Twitter will probably limit it, but you'll still at least be able to do something. And in the long run, of course, the big companies won't like it, because if I'm reading content off your server, but I'm not viewing it through your system, that means I'm not getting fed ads.
Yeah.
So that means you have to have some other way to fund the running of the servers. But if I don't have to run a YouTube, if I only have to run a G15, well, suddenly it gets a lot better to run, because, you know... I think I did the math. G15, I think, cost me $300 a year, something like that. It's not it's not insanely expensive anymore. But I don't think it's even that much now.
If you wanted to still do the ads, you would just go the Paul Harvey route of, instead of it being a commercial, you're reading the ad.
Well, you would need some other way to monetize the platform, right? So maybe you're showing ads to you people on your system. Well, that could work, unless you start seeing a lot of systems without ads popping up. The analytics would totally get fucked up, because if I'm following things from 30 different systems, you're only going to see what I'm following on yours, right? So that kind of kills some of your analytics. So from a company perspective, it'll never fly, but I don't think it matters, because it's not going to be, I mean, what a company, you know, very few companies make any money running email systems. Very few companies make money running DNS systems, right? They're doing it because they're supporting something else. So you'll start to see, you could see things like in coming out of your ISP, or tied to something else, or tied to a pay product, or some other business system that hasn't been invented yet, or just sponsorships. Fuck, I don't know. It's a completely different paradigm as far as doing social media goes, and it may never happen, but I'd like to think that would be the one that would win. Because that goes back to the roots of the internet, of where you treat censorship as a network problem and route around it.
Yeah.
The only way I could see it kicking off, but you would need someone that was already big. And by big, I mean like a big content provider, or a couple big content providers to go in together and do it.
Or maybe just somebody with some cash to burn, and, you know, you get...
There are already alternatives to YouTube. I still use YouTube because that's where the content is.
again, and there'd be still be a lot there, but I'm saying you could have it on different platforms that would intermix. It would be like, as a poor example, being on Vimeo and being able to subscribe to a YouTube channel. I'd still get the video from YouTube. It might even show me YouTube ads, right? But I would be seeing
it through my platform. I see what you're yawning. You yawn with it.
Yeah. It's a different way of thinking about it. And it's hard to jam that into the existing system that we have today. Basically, those existing, the idea of these different social media platforms as independent things that can't cross over would have to go away. So,
well, they just have to be willing to cross over,
or that company would no longer be useful, because who runs an email? You know, who would use an email system that can't email anybody outside of that server? That it'd have to be tied to something else. Like, yeah, World of Warcraft has its own little internal mail system. Outside of using that to sending items around, you can't really, you know, send messages outside of it. So you don't see anybody using World of Warcraft as their primary messaging system for their life. Although I guess some people you do, but, you know, they're strange and sit in a very specific pose and slay rabbits all day. How do you kill that which has no life? Anyways.
Because I use Steam as my primary.
Yeah.
Most people you socialize on the interwebs must use Steam.
Yeah, that's pretty much the reason. I don't have any need to talk to anyone else. Like, I don't have a Facebook or anything. Thank fuck. Dodge that one.
So, I don't know. They're just fun concepts to play with of where I think it's going to end up. Just looking at what the internet's done in the past and how these large companies are getting treated right now. Because I think you will have large groups of people who get tired of it, right?
I've got a crippling cramp in my back. I'll be back in a minute.
Moving on, unless, Madman, you had anything else you wanted to slip in there?
No, we can move on.
All right. Next one is from the BBC.com. Google is in a $5 billion lawsuit for tracking in private mode. Yeah, incognito mode, not so much. Now, is this going to be people who don't understand what private mode actually means in a web browser, or is this Google doing something untoward?
I thought private mode just meant my computer wasn't keeping track.
It actually doesn't even mean your computer. It means that the web browser is not supposed to be keeping track.
Like, Google still knows what my computer's asking it.
Yeah. And if you have firewall monitoring software on your network or even on your computer, like if you're running Glasswire on your computer, go into incognito mode and start going to websites, Glasswire's still going to log it. Or any other firewall, the Windows firewall for that matter. Fuck. I mean, it's how forensics works, is you find the logs that, you know, the system nobody thought to clear half the time. Google has been sued. I hit the button. Damn it. Did it stop? No. Okay, we're good. Google has been sued in the U.S. over claims it illegally invaded the privacy of users by tracking people, even when they are browsing in private mode. Is this going to claim that Google ads are tracking you in incognito mode? Because that's awesome.
The only problem I would see with this is if it was Google Chrome tracking you when it's in incognito mode.
The class action wants at least $5 billion from Google and owner Alphabet. Many internet users assume their search history. Here we go. Assume their search history isn't being tracked when they view in private mode, but Google says this isn't the case. The search engine denies this is illegal and says it's upfront about the data it collects in this mode. The proposed class action likely includes millions of Google users who, since the 1st of June 2016, browsed the internet in private mode, according to law firm Boies Schiller Flexner, who filed the claim on Tuesday in federal court in San Jose, California. Incognito mode within Google's Chrome browser gives the users the choice to search the internet without their activity being saved to their browser or device, but the websites visited can use tools such as Google Analytics to track usage. The complaint says that Google cannot continue to engage in the covert and unauthorized data collection from virtually every American with a computer or phone. vigorously denying the claims, Google spokesperson Jose Castenta said, we clearly state each time you open a new incognito tab, websites might be able to collect information about your browsing activity. The search engine says the collection of search history, even in private viewing mode, helps site owners better evaluate the performance of their content, products, and marketing, and more. While private browsing has been available from Google for some time, Boy Schiller Flexner said it recently decided to represent three plaintiffs based in the U.S. People everywhere are becoming more aware and concerned that their personal communications are being intercepted, collected, recorded, and exploited for gain by technology companies that they've come to depend on, it said in the filing. One option is for visitors to install Google Analytics browser opt-out extension to disable measurements by Google Analytics, it says. So, yeah, this is...
Do they know how the internet works? I mean,
no.
How can a website not know that I'm talking to it while I'm talking to it?
This is a supreme lack of understanding. For example, they're saying, well, Google Chrome invented incognito mode. Nope, pretty sure Firefox, Mozilla, Internet Explorer, every web browser going back for a while has had some form of porn mode. Because let's be honest, that's what it is. It's the I don't want logs of what I'm doing on my computer mode. And, you know, Google, in not, you know, trying to explain this to people who aren't technical, we're like, no. The website and the search engine is keeping logs. This has nothing to do with incognito mode on your device. Chrome and Google Search are two separate things. They are not, you know, one and the same. But, you know, these people don't understand how it works, so they don't get that, and they don't get the separation. They just go, well, I'm in private mode. Why are you keeping logs?
I don't know that you're in private mode. I don't have access to your computer. I just know that you sent a request to my server, and my server sent you something.
And my server happens to know from your IP address, screen resolution, and about 100 other things that this is you, even though you're in incognito mode. So, yeah,
want me to talk to you without talking to you is what you're asking me to do.
Yeah,
that's what I'm hearing here.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I love it. They filed a lawsuit against Google because Google searches are kept even though you're in private browsing mode. I love it. It's such a supreme misunderstanding of what's going on here. And it's because they named it privacy mode, right? As opposed to don't log mode. But people wouldn't know what that meant, so...
I'm hoping this gets thrown out. Just the court says no, and it just gets thrown out. Have they even filed a petition for that?
I don't know. I think the lawsuit has just been filed, so I doubt it's been reviewed or looked at by anybody. Because I don't think they have the option to dismiss until they actually get into, you know.
They have to see a judge, and then they file a motion to dismiss.
Yeah, so I think it's just been filed, and it's just got a big number attached to it, and Google was like, what the fuck? That's why their spokesperson was like, what? So, yeah, it's a supreme misunderstanding of the technology, but can you imagine if they win?
Oh, the internet stops working is what happens if they win. I'll come home, and I'll be like, man, I want to play some Overwatch. Why can't I play Overwatch? Oh, crap. I've got an internet light, but for some reason, it isn't working.
Actually, it would mean your browser would have to advertise to each website you're visiting that you are in incognito mode. Please don't generate logs. And then each website would have to respect that flag. And for malicious websites, if you're in incognito mode, that's going to mean log more. You say, obviously, want to keep it private. So, yeah, I mean, it's such a silly concept, but I love that the lawsuit got filed. I love that nobody at that law firm talked to anybody who knows how this actually works and explained that these are two different technologies. They're just interacting, and the server has no way of knowing that you're in private browsing mode. So, about that. If you truly want... if you truly don't want Google to know who you are, you need to go through a VPN or Tor or something like that. Don't use Chrome. Use like a Firefox. and preferably run it inside a virtual machine so that your screen size is different, and you know, maybe like run it on a different OS than your main one. So if you're a Windows guy, install Linux. If you're a Linux guy, install Windows. You know, well, or maybe a different Linux, or go for some weird and install BSD.
Oh no! All incognito viewing should be done with TempOS.
Yes.
Yes.
The only operating system ordained by God.
I haven't had to use it in so long. Where's the damn toasty button?
Toasty.
There we go. So, and with that, I think it's time to move on because Madman just won that story. Next one is up from The Guardian. Zoom to exclude free calls from end-to-end encryption to allow FBI cooperation. I don't know that I even need to read the article. The headline says it all. Zoom has announced it will provide end-to-end encryption after facing a litany of privacy and security concern, but only for users who pay for it. Eric Yuan, the company's CEO, raised alarm among privacy advocates on Wednesday by saying Zoom planned to exclude free calls from end-to-end encryption so as to leave open the possibility of working with law enforcement. Free users, for sure, we don't want to give end-to-end encryption because we also work together with FBI, with local law enforcement, in case some people use Zoom for a bad purpose, Juan said on a call with analysts. So, I don't know that there's anything else to say here. Just kind of like, well.
It's everything you'd expect and more.
Yep. Yep, if the service is free. You know,
the nope. Product
makes you wonder about Discord, doesn't it?
Oh, dude, yeah. Like this, because I installed it. I was gonna use it, and then I looked at it and just went, "Nah."
There's no reason we still run our own TeamSpeak server. fuck. Rander says you don't even need to wonder about Discord. Oh, did they disclose what they're doing and how much they're monitoring their channels somewhere? I'm sure they have. Probably have it in their EULA somewhere that we can listen into your calls and we'll report your horrible, horrible things to the FBI.
That would actually make them somewhat honorable company. They just say, hi, I'm listening in on you.
Well, it's kind of like the Section 230 stuff that, you know, people are going nuts about right now. I think all they have to do is revise it so that if your site has a policy, as long as you know within reason enforce that policy fairly, you can keep your Section 230, right? But if you're not enforcing it fairly, or if you're not, you know, if you're obviously playing biases and shit like that, okay, that's a different game. But so I don't know. I just. Because, like, I wouldn't care if a site said, no, we're for, you know, one political side or another political view only. And if you come
exactly,
in posting stuff
dude.
We disagree with, then we're going to ban your ass. Okay, I'm fine with that. Now I know whether or not I want to use that website or just read it without signing in and laugh at people. I mean, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
So.
Just full disclosure. Hey, this website may contain images that aren't appropriate for certain mindsets.
Sure. Or, you know, we're monitoring your channels, and if you, you know, say anything, you know, really, really horrible and or hilarious, we're going to put it on our YouTube channel, send it to the FBI and your grandmother. I mean,
yeah.
You know. My God, can you imagine all the 12-year-olds on Call of Duty losing their shit when stuff goes to their grandparents?
Dude, go back to Xbox Live.
Can you imagine on Xbox Live? It's like, yeah, I've recorded everything
Live.
You said, and I've sent it to your grandparents. Have a nice day.
Before the PC culture took over. I'm gonna talk about rape and death threats. You ain't seen shit.
Next one up, this one's from, or you sent me this one, it's from the BBC. Apple tracks looters who steal iPhones, because of course they do.
Enhanced protesters.
It's like enhanced interrogation techniques, but with firebombs, yeah. Molotovs, and looting.
Dude, I've been using that for the last week.
I like
people
it.
People just double take. They're like, what?
I like it.
I mean, enhanced protesters, man. Be politically correct. Like,
because
everybody's used to me just saying the most outrageous shit. I've like really toned it down this week.
So you're fucking with them by going PC.
Yeah, dude. Just totally fucking with them because I'm fully on board with prosecuting that cop. I'm just not on board with enhanced, you know, protests.
I'm not on board looting the CVS and burning down the Target. I'm cool with the cop being put on trial.
That's excessive consumption, madman. It's not looting.
I'm going to start using an enhanced protester because I think it's awesome. And I'm going to screw up and use it at work because I've already screwed up and on a call at work said the boomer and tumor. And luckily, everybody in the channel started laughing their asses off because I was like, I realized what I had done. And it's like, I really need to start working in the office again so I get that nice physical separation.
The best one I've heard this week is Boomer Waffa. I know, it's fucking hilarious.
Boomer offer?
Waffa. As Waffer. In German aircraft.
Okay.
Yeah.
Luftwaffe. Okay.
Yeah. It's to describe a voting block of seniors that will just concentrate on one part of something and just vote for it in mass. It's like a swarm of old people voting for one stupid thing.
The heave forward, yeah. I think we called ours the great sneeze forward. What was the other one we were using? General So's Revenge. We had another one that was really good. There's the list.
We had a few ones.
The Yellow Shanghai Fever.
The Shanghai Shivers, that's a good one. Bamboo Burden. Sweet and Sour
Bat
Sicken.
Bat Soup Sniffles.
Bat Soup Sniffles, that's a good one. Communist Lung Herpes. I need to put that on the list. Bat Soup Sniffles. Luckily, we've been getting away from talking about that in every fucking story. Anyways, because, you know, now things are on fire.
And go from social distancing to fucking bunch up and burn, baby.
Douse yourself some gasoline and stay in the center of the room. Anyways.
So, in 2 weeks' time, we're going to figure out whether the media overhyped this boomer and tumor.
Really
or, yeah. Because there's going to be a lot of people very fucking sick, man.
Or not. And then everybody's going to go, hey.
Hang on a minute. CNN told another lie.
iPhones stolen in the lootings of Apple stores in the U.S. are tracked, disabled, and local authorities are notified, according to messages displayed on their screens. The phone comes up and starts calling for help. Oh, that makes so much sense. The phone has decided to narc on you. The phone is narking on you.
That is fucking amazing.
Apple is...
Dude, imagine how many freakouts have had, like, people with those phones.
Oh, everybody. Everybody's carrying... What do you think's in those backpacks? It's laptops and iPads.
Yeah.
Apple has temporarily closed some of its U.S. stores following a series of attacks amid protests over the death of George Floyd. Oh, that's not the name. It was Landlord Floyd, right? Is that what we're supposed to be saying?
I have no idea, man.
That's from the porn he did. I think it's Landlord Floyd. Eh, I probably shouldn't poke that beehive, huh?
Yeah, I support your right to do it.
Doesn't
as long
mean
as
it's
you support
smart.
My right, as long as you support my right to disavow at the end of it.
There you go. several images of the warnings have been shared on social media. Apple said it did not comment on security matters. Yeah, I'll tell you guys a story when we get off the show because I literally can't talk about that one because it's just happened and it's hilarious. But anyways, it's not clear whether the company has basically I got to put some of this shit together. It's great. Anyways, it's not clear whether the company has passed on the location of stolen devices to any police forces. It has long been rumored that the devices on display in Apple stores have software installed that they can be tracked if they're stolen. Pictures on social media confirm this. One image of the device posted to Twitter showed the message, "Please return to Apple Walnut Street. This device has been disabled and is being tracked. Local authorities will be alerted." The store in Philadelphia was among those attacked and looted. Purchased devices do not have such software on them, but they can be remotely locked by Apple if they are subsequently lost or stolen. The firm's... It's just not Find My iPhone with a really aggressive preset. The firm has recently started reopening stores following the easing of lockdowns around the country, but a series of raids in Washington, D.C., L.A., San Francisco, New York, and Philadelphia has forced them to shut down again. Chief Executive Tim Cook has told employees in a memo that the killing of Mr. Floyd, the black man killed by the white police officer, was senseless and has pledged to donate to human rights groups. See, we're not racist. We're not racist. Now turn over the fucking stolen phone. So, I just love it. The phone's narking on you.
Awesome.
Not surprising, though.
Huh.
I actually think it's kind of amazing.
I think it's great. I mean, it makes sense.
You know, yeah, if you don't want to get narked on, don't steal my shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
RU also sent me this one. It's from abc.net.au. Optus ordered to hand over information about the author of a negative Google review. Optus has been ordered to hand over the details of a customer accused of defaming a Melbourne dentist through a Google review, which he said has had a profound impact on his teeth whitening business. The telco's Australian office has been served with a subpoena to produce documents which could unmask the writer of the negative review published on Google's platform about 6 months ago. The details will then be used to launch defamation proceedings. Wow, this is exactly...
That's crap.
No, but this is the exact same model they used to use for DMCA, and well, they probably still do, for DMCA complaints, where they'd file a lawsuit against the ISP to get them to turn over evidence, then drop the lawsuit and go sue the people they actually wanted to sue, the end users.
Yeah.
It's the exact same thing, but now it's just because you said something mean about them.
Yep. It's that precedent.
Yep. And Australia, I don't know that they have an equivalent of the First Amendment. In fact, I'm willing to bet they don't.
Yep.
The U.S. is the only country that has the First Amendment.
Well, or something along the lines. Like, Britain has one that they can turn off whenever the government feels like it, but they do actually have a law that gives them supposed freedom of speech.
Unless you're criticizing certain religions, the government...
Yeah, they can disable it at a whim, so you don't really have it. So, or, you know, like Germany, where it's allowed unless it's hate speech, and they just don't define what hate speech is. But
yeah, the Aussies are are less dogmatic than the Brits.
Yeah.
So far. But it's coming, man.
The telco's Australian office has been served with a subpoena to produce documents which could unmask the writer of the negative reviews published in Google's platform. Oh, I already read this. The details will then be used to launch the defamation proceedings. Optus has until June 17th to respond to the subpoena. The escalation in the hunt for the reviewer, known only as CBSM23, comes after Matthew Cabbage's legal team successfully convinced the federal court to order Google to give up the details which identified them as an Opus customer. Dr. Cabell's lawyer, Mark Sternovic from Matrix Legal, said it was a significant moment. "We've opened the veil, pierced it, in terms of people hiding behind Google reviews," Mr. Sternovic said. "It's been demonstrated that we can do that now," he said. It seems litigation is the only mechanism where people can seek these remedies. The review in question has since been removed from Dr. Cabbage's Google page, leaving him with an average of 4.9-star rating out of dozens of appraisals. Opus has declined to comment. Dr. Cabby is not the only business owner pursuing negative reviewers who are hiding behind the veil of anonymity. On Thursday, federal court also ordered Google to hand over any identifying details of another negative reviewer accused of defaming Melbourne gangland lawyer Zara Gard-Wilson. Ms. Gard-Wilson, oh my God, is that a picture of her? Yeah, she looks like a... Yeah, she looks like somebody who would, you know, lose their shit over a Google review. Is also being represented by Matrix Legal, who was allegedly defamed by a user called Muhammad Ahmed, who had criticized her law firm, Gard Wilson Criminal Lawyers. Shortly after the review was posted, Mrs. Gard Wilson responded directly to the writer on her Google page. My practice has never acted for a Muhammad Ahmed, and we are forwarded this review to the Google investigations team to be removed, she wrote publicly. Mr. Cernovic said Ms. Gard Wilson was suspected her anonymous reviewer was a competitor, which would open them up to be sued under Australian consumer law for misleading and deceptive conduct. Similar legal action has been taken by Michael Kukula from Melbourne Gold Company, who suspects a jealous competitor is behind a targeted attack. Upon pleading our case to Google and bringing these facts to Google's attention, Google claimed that the two reviews did not breach their terms of service. So here's the thing. What if it really is somebody who just, you know, you did a shit job with and they were pissed off?
Well, we'll find out, won't we?
Well, I guess. I mean, if you're going to get sued every time you say something bad about somebody, kind of.
Well, they're not suing for cash at this moment. They're suing to find out who the person is.
Yeah, but they've already said they're going to sue for defamation.
Well, if they did a crap job, then you have a decent defense. And I believe in Australia that you have a loser pay law, don't you?
Yeah, I think so.
So the dude can just show up. They did a crap job. Disprove me.
Look, my teeth aren't white. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but it all depends who the doctors or the dentist is politically connected to.
Nepotism, like, I guess, is always a thing.
The jury has been instructed to disregard the testimony of the customer who said that he, you know, wasn't treated fairly. Continue, doctor, about how this horrible customer abused you in your office. The sad part is that kind of shit happens. So,
I'm kind of in two minds. I could see a company having the right to face their accuser. If you say I'm doing a crap job, how do I know you're not my competitor? Or that I even did business with you.
Well, it's a fair point.
And if someone did do a crap job, I'm completely willing to say Spectrum has done some crap jobs for me. And they hear it. I will go to court if you want to go to court, and I will issue all my complaints. Insight was better. I can't believe I'm saying that.
Well, you know, when the bar is set that low, it always surprises you when they go lower.
Yeah, like, I thought it couldn't get worse. And then I went to Taco Bell. Yeah, might as well piss everybody off.
There you go. This week's show sponsored by Taco Bell. I'm kidding. Oh, my God. You imagine if we actually took sponsors? Or you'd fly over here just to kick my ass.
I don't know, man.
Depends. We might be able to get sponsored by Fry's Electronics. Eventually stop saying your name, Fry's. Just money.
Give us money.
Because they won't pay us to stop saying your name.
I couldn't read copy if yeah.
Oh, no, we wouldn't read copy. We feed it in one of those horrible computer voices. Just let it play.
There's no way you could read copy, dude. Like, I cringe every time that, you know, they're flying through a sentence, the show's going well, and then they just, you know, roll into Blue Chew. Your dick not fucking hard enough while having it. What the fuck, man? I'm listening to a podcast about car repair, and now you're talking about dick pills. Nope. I just nope out on that.
Sounds like a deeply personal and invasive story there, are you?
Oh, dude, no, this fucking, there's, you know, you got Raid, Shadow Legend.
Well, that one's just the perennial joke.
And then you've generally got the, whatever the fucking VPN is of the week sort of thing. But then when you get to the more controversial podcasts that, you know, say some naughty words and may, you know, go off topic every now and then, they're always sponsored by CBD oils or fucking boner pills or some sort of get shredded in 30 days. Like, no fat fuck listening to this shit's going to buy it to get shredded in 30 days. I'm just sick of
ads. Any pill that can take you from fat to shredded in 30 days is just going to give you a heart attack.
It pretty much, you know, methamphetamine for the win.
When we do it in like the heart attack beyond the 56th day, I mean, I want to have some fun with this before I die.
I mean, if you're going to read copy, make it at least somewhere close to whatever you're talking about so it's just not weird.
I don't know. I like Dankula's method where he just looks deeply uncomfortable while doing it.
Well, see, he gets to run a little wild with that. But, yeah, you know, a lot of... I don't know if you ever heard Gavin McGinnis read copy?
Oh, God.
He's terrible at it.
I like Plavin. He just makes a joke out of whatever he's reading.
Well, he has to, right?
Well, dude, fucking, how many ads is Clavin up to now? I stopped watching because it's fucking ads.
Usually four an episode. So one every 10 to 12 minutes.
That's too many.
That's, I don't know. Last time I tried to watch Shapiro, it felt like every 5 minutes he was going into an ad.
That's another reason I stopped watching Shapiro. After a while, Shapiro just says the same shit over and over again.
Well, it's
they're having the same argument over and over again.
He must make a shit ton of money on those ad reads. I tell you what, for as many of them as he's doing.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
I mean, I know he's got a huge following, so his ad slot's probably pretty penny on his rate sheet, but still. It's like, fuck, dude.
What's he flogging now? Still
I have no idea.
And fucking pillows and shit?
To him. Anyways, last article I have for tonight, RU sent me this one as well, it's from the BBC. Google takes down app that removes Chinese software. Google has taken down an Android service that helped people delete other apps made in China. Remove China Apps has been downloaded by more than a million times in the first 10 days after its launch. It has proved popular in India, where tensions with China are high over a disputed border in the Himalayas. Google said it violated the App Store's policies, but gave no further details. We still want to do business with China. Quit it. The software was developed by the Indian firm One Touch App Labs. On its website, it wrote, "Dear friends, Google has removed China Apps from the Google Play Store. Thank you for all your support in the past 2 weeks. You are awesome." The app highlighted popular social media site TikTok, owned by Beijing-based ByteDance. It also flagged up video conferencing app Zoom, based in California, but founded by an entrepreneur and born in China. However, that was not able to detect apps pre-installed on Chinese-made phones. Among other apps it highlighted were ShareIt, which allows people to transfer files, including photos, video, and music. Cam Scanner, which allows people to use their phones to scan images and turn them into PDF documents. UC Browser, a Chinese web browser owned by Alibaba. Fans helped it gain publicity via social media posts in which they suggest alternative apps to the Chinese ones. The critics have said the service is stoking anti-China sentiment, which was already on the rise after the emergence of, bat soup sniffles in the city of Wuhan. Developers on Beluga Whale, an online community for China's app makers, had called on others to report the app to Google, calling it a form of market disruption. One told the news TechCrunch, "I think what happens in India will happen in other countries in the future, so this is a long-term impact that should factor into China developers' calculations." Tensions have risen between India and China over Chinese troops moved into what has been regarded by India as its territory in the disputed Kashmir region. Blah, 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 blah. So, yep, nope. Google is not letting you install an app that goes through and uninstalls stuff like that, which likely just because it's called Remove Chinese Apps, truth be told.
Well, now you have to manually do it.
Well, I'm certain you can probably find all kinds of lists by just Googling them of what app should I not use on my phone, so, and what the replacements
are. Pretty much. Once again, Google picking winners and losers.
Well, yeah, they do that. So, DuckDuckGo, people. It's worth looking into and using from time to time.
Yeah, I like this search engine.
Yep. What's the other one? Is StartPage the other one that people like that does
StartPage? StartPage still pretty good yet. It's good, actually, StartPage. If you have any minor censorship going on with your ISP, yeah, start page. That was a real winner for me towards the end of last year. Jesus, man, I don't even know when events have happened anymore. Everything just blends together.
So, Rainer, I've been looking into, he's saying, I know you're into, you know, he's got a Twitter post he wants me to look at here, but he's talking about 3D printing and firearms, but not together, and you're right, a fully 3D printed gun is stupid, but a 3D printed, or, but a gun with 3D printed components, we can talk. I've been actually looking into what's basically a 3D printed frame where you then, you know, put a metal barrel, and that looks interesting.
That barrel looks... also acts as the firing chamber.
Yes.
That in there. Yeah. Because it's the firing chamber that's the big problem.
Yeah. Yeah. If you
the
try
barrel
to use a,
is also a problem.
If you try to use a 3D printed firing chamber, what you have is not a gun. What you have is a hand grenade with a very short fuse. So.
And random explosion time.
Yeah. So, anyways, but. Okay. This is one of those homemade AK-47s where they 3D printed chunks of it. Yeah. And it's 3D printing the tooling to manufacture the metal bits. Okay, cool. Yeah. That is cool. But I'll tell you what. Let me grab that Twitter link. We'll throw it in the show notes under closing thoughts here just so it's there. Yeah, that's cool. I like it. Oh, he's got a video on there showing him shooting it over and over again. Nice. So anyways, though, let's do this. I only got one thing for you tonight in Digital Dojo, and that is on archive.org, we have something that is called the CIA Lockpicking Field Guide Operative Training Manual. I think this is hilarious. It looks like it might actually be a CIA issue document, but I don't know that it is. But just flipping through it, it looks like a decent guide for lockpicking, and it's on archive.org, and I thought it was hilarious. So if you're curious as to lockpicking, here's a book. It's not that long. It's like 50 pages, which is actually one of the reasons why I think it might legitimately be a government document, because it's not going to be full of fluff in the history of lockpicking and everything else you see in a regular book you buy on lockpicking that makes it, you know, 100 or so pages. So decent-looking guide illustrations on the process. I won't claim to be very good at lockpicking, but I've been known to do it. So, anyways, I just thought that was kind of cool. But that's all I've really got for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site, the subreddit, and the IRC. In the IRC tonight, we have myself, Sardonyx, Psychros, DPView, Madman, Rainer, and the Coffee Maker. Madman, closing thoughts.
I'm hoping the Coffee Maker doesn't start talking to the fridge. Conspiracy of kitchen appliances in here.
You obviously haven't
not
seen
be
the
on
news.
The internet.
There we go. It's like, is he talking about schizophrenia or is he talking about smart home devices? It could be one or the other at this point.
Certain things shouldn't be on the internet. Coffee makers are one of them. Fridges, thermostats, anything that lets me dump molten metal onto the floor of wherever the molten metal is. I'm thinking it was Ukraine because those were Slavic letters that I recognized very, very hot.
It's like, now find the webcam so you can, you know, get some epic footage and make sure nobody's standing under it before you hit that button.
Oh, there could have been deaths. But that system should not be on the internet.
Rainer says when you really have to worry about it is when the fridge is talking to the toilet.
Trying to figure out what I ate. Or what I need to order more of.
No, it's going to order it for you. You're just going to come home one day and there's going to be the Amazon Fresh box with everything it thinks you need. It's like, you're not eating enough vegetables, so we ordered you some. Are you? Closing thoughts.
Are you going to do any enhanced protesting this weekend? Leave your phone at home, kids.
Yeah, that way you can go pick up a couple new ones and it doesn't look weird. Yeah. Why do you have two smartphones? One's mine, the other one's going to be mine as soon as I figure out how to reprogram and unbrick the thing. Or wait a minute, one's mine, one's going on eBay.
That's all I got. I'm gonna start hitting sound effects now.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Johnson goes down and call it a night.
Shut up, Wesley.